Word of God this evening, and we're coming to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles at the end of the book, chapter 25. You find 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and the 2 Chronicles, and over to chapter number 25. It's not a place you would very often hear the gospel being preached from, but there's a lovely text of scripture here that the Lord led me to this week, and I just wanted to share it with you this evening. Again, thank you for coming out, and we do trust we know the Lord's help and blessing in the meeting this evening. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse number 1. Second Chronicles chapter 25, and reading from the first verse, verse number 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehodahan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father, but he slew not their children, but it is as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. We know that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. Suppose if I was to put a title on the message this evening, it would be two short words: much more. Much more. I was just reading on the internet this morning when I was doing some research that Prince William, I think, and his father are going to make an announcement very shortly, trying to encourage people not to hunt particular animals that are near extinction. But the internet was sort of drawing comparison, because while he was saying this, him and his brother were out hunting animals in Spain, and they thought he may get himself into some trouble. It may be seen as saying one thing and doing something different. But you know, so often members of the royal family, and indeed kings and queens, throughout many other places, find themselves either being very popular, very unpopular, or saying things which make them not look too good. We've read about a king this evening, a king called Amaziah. Verse 1 tells us he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. It says in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. It seems that he was a man who, yes, he obeyed the Lord and he followed the Lord's instructions, but his heart wasn't really in it. He didn't do it with a perfect heart. He had some good points and some bad points. After the death of his father Joash, he came to the throne, and the first thing he did in verse 3 was to deal with those who had killed his father. It came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed king his father. And then in verse number 4, he brings this great statement to bear, but he slew not their children, but did as it written in the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. That's a mighty statement, isn't it? A mighty statement tonight, for there may be some thinking that somehow their parents' salvation will suffice for them, but this teaches differently. This teaches that each one will die for their own sin. It's great to have family that's saved. Great to have a saved husband, a saved wife. Great to have saved children in the family. It's great to have saved grandparents. But you know, that won't do for you. Every man will die for their own sin. God will hold you accountable for your sin. I know there are some people and they won't get saved because they will point to the sins of others. And very often they point to the sins of God's people. And you know, sometimes you don't have to look too far, sadly. And for some people, they'll point to hypocrisies and different shortcomings among the people of God. And they'll say that, I would get saved if it wasn't for them. Listen, God's not going to hold you accountable for anybody else's sin, only your own. That's all. And tonight, if you're going to be saved, you need to be saved yourself. It's a personal decision, and it's something you need to come and understand. Confess your sin, repent of your sin, and accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You know, my salvation won't do my children. Your salvation, if you're saved tonight, won't do your children. All must come themselves and accept Christ as their Savior. Amaziah then decides to attack the Edomites. Edomites were descendants of Esau and long-time enemies of the people of God. 300,000 men he gathers from Judah and Benjamin. Verse number 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captain over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. This is the southern kingdom, if you like. And he numbered them from 20 years and old and above, and found 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. But he thought he needed some more help. And so in verse number 6, he hires some men. We would call them modern day mercenaries. Verse 6, he hired also 100,000 men of valor out of Israel. Remember, the top 10 tribes were known as Israel. The bottom two tribes were known as Judah, incorporated Judah and Benjamin. And so he goes to the northern 10 tribes and he hires 100,000 men and he pays 100 talents of silver for their services. But God said no. Look at verse 7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of God go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. God says, look, I don't want you to have these men. At the moment, Israel has turned its back on God. And I don't want you to be associated with these men who have turned their back on God. Verse 8. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. He says, look, if you want to do it, you do it. But you're going to have God against you. You know, if God's for us, who can be against us? But if God's against us, not many, how many hundred thousands of men you have? And so he's given something to think about here. God has told him through this man of God, if he continues in this way, that indeed they're going to lose the battle. But Amaziah is concerned about the money. Look at verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? What about all this money I have spent? I'm going to lose this money. And the man of God answered, and here's the text this evening. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What a text of scripture that is. Tucked away here in the Old Testament, in a book that you would hardly ever read. And I remember reading the Bible through every year, and I remember coming in this text and it just jumped out at me. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amaziah would know victory instead of defeat. What's 100 talents of silver to be compared with to be defeated? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It's a question of values. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, the Lord is able to give thee much more, whatever it is tonight. Whatever is holding you back, whatever you think is so valuable, it's keeping you from coming to Christ, even as a believer. Whatever idol we have, whatever pleasure we take out of it, whatever happiness it gives us, whatever satisfaction it gives us, if it's not of the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Much more than this. Amaziah is discovering some things he'd be better off without. Just think of this text this evening. I began to think of some of the people in Scripture and we could have brought this text to bear in their lives. It would have saved them an awful lot of trouble. Think of Adam. Think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They had the perfect home. They had the perfect marriage. The perfect wife. The perfect husband. Everything was perfect. In complete and perfect fellowship with God. They had everything that anyone could ever want. But the devil come along. The devil says, you're missing out. devil says, you know, God's robbing you of something. There's far more out there. In Genesis 3, verse 5, for God doth know, said the devil, in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. God's robbing you of something. And some people think they would love to get saved, but they're going to lose out. They're going to miss some fun. They're going to miss some parties. They're going to miss something that they seem to draw satisfaction out of. And the devil's all about telling you what you're going to lose out if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many have listened to the lies of the devil, went after the pleasures of the world, and rejected God's so great salvation. And Adam was no different. Adam and Eve fall for it. They think there's something better. They think they're missing out. And then Adam finds himself and Eve thrown out of the garden. And in Genesis 3 verse 9, the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Adam, where are you now? You're out of fellowship with God. You're a sinner. You've brought sin into the world. And through Adam, all of us have sinned this evening. And Adam said, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Here you find a man filled with fear and a man hiding from God. Take him back into the garden now. The devil was telling Eve that you're missing out. There's something better. There's something better there. And bring this message home to the hearts of Adam and Eve. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Are you hiding from the Lord tonight? Hiding from making this decision. Hiding because you're listening to some lie of the devil and you feel if you trusted the Lord that somehow you would miss out. You know, the Lord is something better for you tonight. Indeed, the psalmist said of the Lord, thou art my hiding place. You don't have to be hiding from the Lord tonight. You could be hiding in the Lord tonight. He could become your hiding place and your shield even this evening. You see, Adam, and he's hiding, and we could say to Adam, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. We could go to Judas Iscariot tonight. What a sad story. We heard a little bit about him this morning around the Lord's table. What a man with so many privileges. A man who indeed walked side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who didn't have to read the Lord's messages. A man who heard them from the very lips of the Savior. Imagine witnessing the miracles that he witnessed. Imagine hearing the gracious words that comes from the lips of the blessed Savior. Imagine being in the company of God's people for all those years and all the privileges. And yet there come a point when Judas thought he was missing out. Remember, Satan entered into him in Matthew 26:15, and he heads out and he goes to the chief priest and he says, what will you give me? What will you give me if I betray the Lord? You know, if we could stop Judas in his tracks, we would say, listen, Judas, whatever they're going to give you, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. It's surely one of the worst bargains that any man has ever made in his life. To sell the Lord for 30 lousy pieces of silver. And he left with the pieces rattling in his pocket or in his pouch. And I'm sure he had in his mind what he was going to spend it on, what he was going to buy with this money that he now had attained. It was the devil's money. It was rattling in his pocket. You know, we could say to him again, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Matthew 27 verse 5 says, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. You see, Adam hiding. Adam, the Lord's able to give you much more than this. You see, Judas Iscariot, and he's hanging. Judas, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And what a sad thing to turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ for some lousy bit of money, whatever it is. Whatever it is tonight, it may not be money, but whatever it is that's holding you back this evening, all I can say is the Lord can give you much, much more than this. We could go to the rich man this evening in Luke chapter 16. I don't want to say much about him. I've preached on him many times in both mission and here in the church. There was a certain rich man with his clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know, he was dressed like a king, he ate like a horse, and he had a wonderful time. His life was filled with so many things that he never thought about the Lord. There was a beggar lying at his gate, and he must have witnessed to him because he knew he was a Christian. Because when he finds himself in a lost eternity, he says, go and send Lazarus back and he might tell my brethren that they need to repent. And so they must have been witness to. This man must have known he was a child of God. And yet, in spite of the witness he received, in spite of all that was going on, you know, he had no time for Jesus and no time for salvation. He had so much that this world had to offer. You know, we find them in Luke's Gospel, and it says the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. What a funeral procession that must have been, to have the angels as your pallbearers. But the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You see this man burning in hell, because that's how Christ describes it. It's called a lake of fires, a place of unquenchable fire. I can't tone it down. I can't soften the blow tonight. But you know, if you could speak to this man and he's burning in a lost eternity, and all the things that he had in his lifetime, we could have said to him, listen, the Lord's able to give you much more than this. What are you selling the Lord for tonight? You know, we could think about some of God's people and we could say it to them tonight. We could think of Lot. You know, the New Testament tells us that Lot was a righteous man. I know you wouldn't believe it looking at his life, but he was a righteous man. Genesis 13, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. You know, it says in Scripture it was a good place for cattle. Lot didn't care about his children, as long as he made some money out of the cattle. What odds if his children go to hell? You see, he looked at the well-watered plains. They looked so good, they looked so prosperous, and he pitched his tents towards Sodom. He didn't go right into Sodom to begin with. He knew that much, but you know, eventually he finds himself in Sodom. He finds himself at the gate of Sodom. He was given a position of responsibility in it, probably a magistrate or something, because that's why they sat at the gate. And here's a man who was a righteous man, and he's getting further and further away from God. His eyes was attracted to what the world had to offer. And you know, we would love to stop Lot in his tracks. We would love to say to him, listen Lot, whatever you think you're going to get out of these well-watered plains, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It says in Genesis 19 that it came to pass when they had brought them forth, they said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And he has to leave that place. But you remember, his wife looked back and became a pillar of salt, and he left with just his two daughters. Everything else he had went up in smoke. And every other person in the family were lost and perished. We would love to bring Lot back to that day when he made the choice. Say, listen Lot, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And believer tonight, do you find yourself with a foot in the world? Do you find yourself being pulled into the world? Is there something in the world that seems attractive tonight? Before you take that step, listen, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. We could go to the prodigal son. We find the prodigal son and he's in with the swine. He's got far further away than he ever intended to be, because sin will always take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Luke 15, it says he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man would give unto him. He's hungering, he's unsatisfied, he's discontented, he's unhappy. Before he steps away from the Father's house, that place of fellowship, that place of food, that place of plenty, that place of blessing, we would love to stop him, wouldn't we? And say, listen, young man, whatever you think's out in the world, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And the devil will set it before thee. You know, John tells us in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this summarizes everything that draws people away from the Lord. There is the lust of the flesh. That was Eve's problem. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. The inward desire would be satisfied. The devil used the same approach when he sought to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted him to turn the breads into stone that they might satisfy his desires. And so the lust of the flesh is there to pull us away from the Lord. And then, of course, there's the lust of the eyes. Remember, she saw the tree, that it was good for food. And again, the devil tried the same thing with the Lord. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And then there is the pride of life. Remember, he took the Lord up into that holy city and set him on a pinnacle, and again was trying to fill the Lord with pride. Of course, he was not able to sin. He was God manifest in the flesh. And John, and again in Genesis 3, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, to satisfy that pride of life. And the devil still uses the same tactics today. And whatever he's using tonight for you, whether you're a child of God being pulled in the wrong direction, or whether you're a believer or a lost person tonight, listen to what the Lord has to say to you tonight. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Whatever you think you're going to lose by coming to Christ, whatever you think you're missing out on by walking close to the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Let's break this down very simply this evening. Think of the ability the Lord is able. Think of the generosity the Lord is able to give. Think of the applicability the Lord is able to give thee. Think of the enormity. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Think of the ability the Lord is able. Do we question it tonight? We only have to look at the marvel and the wonder of creation. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at the ability of the Lord. We see it all around us. We cannot doubt His ability. When we get to Calvary, we see His ability. Paul said in Ephesians 1, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, when He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. We can't question His great power, His great ability. It's unmeasurable tonight. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, saying He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Look at those who are saved tonight. Look at lives that have been changed tonight. Look at some who have been walking for the Lord, with the Lord for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Some perhaps even longer. He is able tonight. Don't question His ability tonight. He's able to save you. He's able to keep you. Paul again said, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you think He couldn't save you tonight? Do you think He couldn't keep you tonight? Do you think tonight that if you trusted the Lord, you'll step outside that door and He'll just leave you to your own devices? Listen, He's able tonight. Think of the ability. The Lord is able tonight. He's able to save you. He's able to keep you. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He saves us. He keeps us. The Hebrew writer said, for in that He Himself suffered being tempted, He is able to succor, He is able to comfort, He is able to encourage those who are tempted. Whatever life springs across your pathway as a child of God, He's able to help you. He's able to understand. He's always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able tonight. The Lord's able to give you much more than this. Do you doubt it tonight? Do you doubt His ability tonight? You only have to look at creation. You only have to look at salvation. You only have to look to Calvary tonight. You see He's able tonight. You see His ability. You see His generosity here as well. The Lord is able to give thee. Think of some of the things that He has given. He gave His Son to make a way tonight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, He gave His Son tonight. We're starting at the top. Whatever else He gives peels into insignificance. He gave His Son that you might get saved. Do you think He's not able to give you tonight much more than whatever the devil offers tonight? Much more, whatever you have in your mind this evening that keeps you from the Lord. He has given us His Word. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He give his Son that we might have a way. He gives his word, which is our stay. You know, he says, I'll save you, I'll give you eternal life, and you'll never perish, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. How could we lose our salvation? Well, if we're in his hand and we're in the Father's hand, you need to get somebody stronger than God the Son and stronger than God the Father. And if you find someone stronger and they can somehow prize you out of his hand, but you know tonight he's able to save you. He's able to keep you tonight. You know, he gives us his word. He gives us his grace for every day. James 4 verse 6, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble. And what a subject the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is. His grace is all sufficient. His saving grace, his sustaining grace. You know, it's grace that put us on the road. It's grace that keeps us on the road. And it's grace that will meet us at the end of the road. It's grace through and through tonight. And he has given his grace for you tonight. He gives us all that we need to live a godly and a holy life. Romans 8 verse 32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He'll give us whatever we need to live for him in the 21st century. You see his generosity tonight? What have you given him? Have you given him the cold shoulder? Have you given him your back? Because you've turned your back on him over and over and over again. Well, this is such a mighty text this evening. See the ability the Lord is able. You see the generosity the Lord is able to give. You see the applicability the Lord is able to give thee. It's about you tonight. It's personal tonight. There are many people that maybe you can think about tonight and they would really could do with salvation. They could do with the Lord's help. They could do with this because their lives are in such a mess. But the Lord's talking to you tonight. He was wounded for our transgressions. You can put your name in there. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You can put your name in there. Last week we were looking at the call of Christ. And do you remember when he came to Jericho? I was in Jericho a number of years ago. It was very, very hot. It's a dirty place. It's controlled by the Arabs in these days. They have a little sycamore tree there. And they say that's the same sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed up. I don't know whether it is or not. I know it's a very old tree, but little Zacchaeus had climbed up the tree, and it says in Luke 19, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He speaks personally. The Lord's speaking to you tonight, and he says, listen, the Lord is able to give thee, you tonight, you personally. What is it tonight that's so precious you're willing to go to hell for it? What is it that's so good that you're willing to live a life without Christ for it? Maybe you hope to get saved just at the end. Maybe you will get saved just at the end. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's so good tonight. You're willing to live a life without Christ. You're willing to risk dying without Christ. Whatever it is tonight, the Lord is able to give thee much, much more than this. You see the ability the Lord's able to give. You see the generosity the Lord is able to give. You see the applicability the Lord is able to give thee. You see the enormity tonight. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Not just more, much more. You know, the devil has many, many pleasures. Don't ever doubt that for a moment. Don't ever try and tell someone that there's no pleasure in sin. Hebrews 11 verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin. And you look at some of the dives in our country and even look at what was going on at the Odyssey the other evening, and you try and go along and tell those young people that there's no fun there, there's no pleasure there. Of course there's pleasure in sin, but it doesn't last. Listen to what the Lord gives. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, he's to give you eternal pleasures. And some people are into the temporary. And they discover that it's not even real. It's empty. It's meaningless. It's there and then it's gone. Solomon talked about it being vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's empty. It's like chasing bubbles, and once you catch the bubble, it's gone. There's so many who are chasing bubbles. The devil gives pleasures, but the Lord gives eternal pleasures. He's able to give much more than this. The devil has many things for people to enjoy. This is what Job 20 verse 5 says, "The triumphing of the wicked is short. The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment." Whatever enjoyment he gives, it's only short. It's only for a moment. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 6, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool." This also is vanity. Like a fire burning on the outside and a pot on top of it, and you hear the little sticks and the twigs and they're crackling, and then they just fizzle out. And in the morning there's nothing, only ashes left. There's nothing there. No reality. Just a bit of smoke maybe. And in a day or two's time it's just dead. That's the enjoyment that Satan gives. But listen, the Lord's able to give much more than this. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." We're talking about eternal joy. There's joy now. And there's an unspeakable joy that God's people enjoy that the world knows nothing about. But listen, there's an eternal joy. You know, the devil gives a peace as well. Luke 11 verse 21, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." You know, the devil can give a peace to people. And you look around tonight, there are many people in our province, and maybe even some in the church tonight, and they're at peace tonight, and they're not saved. They're not really concerned about their soul. They're not really concerned about heaven. They're not really concerned about hell. They've got a peace tonight, and the devil can give a peace when a strong man's arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But listen, Jeremiah said this, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." God tells in Isaiah 48 verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." It's a false peace. You know, our nation is known about false peaces. They knew about the Chamberlain document just before World War II, and it was peace in our time. Within a few months, World War II had broken out and Britain was back at war again. It was a false peace. You couldn't trust Hitler. Listen, you can't trust the devil. It's a false peace tonight. He doesn't want you to be concerned. He doesn't want you to think about heaven or think about hell. That's why so many people are dull of hearing. That's why they don't want to listen to the gospel. And the world that's around us is anti anything that's even slightly Christian. Never mind all out Christian. You know, the devil doesn't want you to think about it tonight. He's given a false peace. There's so many people in the world and they've got a peace, but it's a false peace. "There is no peace," said the Lord. But listen, Paul said in Philippians 4 verse 7, he says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." He gives real peace. He gives a lasting peace. He gives real pleasure, real peace, real joy. Listen, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Think about love tonight. So many people, and I'm sure there is somebody who loves you tonight. And you think of how much they love you, but think of it, how much the Lord loves you tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. There's no greater love than the love that Jesus Christ had for you. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No wonder the hymn writer said that ere such love and sorrow meet, our thorns composed so rich a crown. Think of Calvary tonight. And I don't care who loves you tonight. And many a person have been drawn away from the Lord because of a love. Maybe a love for something. A love for some person. And this love has taken them away from the Lord. But listen, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. There's no one can outlove the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is everlasting. He has loved us with an everlasting love. The Lord is able to give thee much more tonight. Look what he has done for us. Look at the welcome that awaits us. Whatever is holding you back tonight, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You know, in Romans chapter 5, there are five much mores. I don't know whether you ever noticed this before or not, but it's interesting when you study them. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9, it says this: "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know, the much more, there's no condemnation tonight. There's no condemning for you if you're saved tonight. And then in verse number 10 he said, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life." You know, we're reconciled tonight. There's no more separating. We're reconnected. We're reconciled to God. You know, your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God, but we're saved tonight. We're reconciled. We're back with the Lord tonight. We're connected to the Lord. There's no condemning. There's no separating. Look at verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many." And the key word there is the word gift. You know, there's no paying for it. It's much more than anything you'll find in the world. You know, sin will cost you and cost you heavy, and the way of the transgressor is hard, and the wages of sin is death, and sin is costly, but salvation's free. The Lord's able to give thee much more tonight. No condemning, no separating, no paying. You know, look at verse 17 in Romans chapter 5. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," it's talking about death reigning, "much more then," there's another much more, "they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life." Death's not reigning, life's reigning when you come to Christ. See, when you're not saved, death reigns. Death has a hold on you. Death that is physical and death that is spiritual. See, when you come to Christ, death's reign is broken and life now reigns. It's now eternal life, life with a capital L. You see, there's no condemning, there's no separating, there's no paying, and there's no longer death is reigning. But look at verse number 20. This is probably the best known much more of all. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." What can we say about that? You know, when it comes to reaching, sin, where sin abounds, grace much more. Overabundantly abounds. There's hardly an English word that can really translate it and give it. When it comes to reaching, no matter who you are tonight, his grace is sufficient. When it comes to saving, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No matter what you've done tonight, his grace goes beyond that. When it comes to keeping his salvation, we do let the Lord down, we do fail the Lord, we do disappoint him, we do as believers sin, but listen, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. His grace that saves you is the grace that keeps you, and it is the grace that one day will lead you home. Oh, he is able to give much, much more than this. Satan delivers everlasting punishment, an unquenchable fire, terrible, terrible thing. But the Lord is able to give much, much more than anything he offers. Paul summarized it in two little words: "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ," which is far better, to be with Christ. The Lord is able to give much, much more. Whatever it is tonight that's keeping you from coming to Christ, the Lord is able to give you much more. He can give you life with a capital L, joy, peace, contentment, assurance, a home in heaven, justification, forgiveness of sins. You know, I can't even remember everything he can give you. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. I couldn't tell you it all tonight, but he's able to give thee much more than whatever you're holding on to tonight. I heard about a young girl. She was fascinated by a little flower that was on the edge of the Niagara Falls. And she wanted to get this little flower, and so she went over the edge, and I've never been there, so I can't tell you what it's like. I was near the Victoria Falls, but I didn't get the chance to see them. I was in Victoria Falls, but didn't see them. But Victoria and the Niagara Falls must be a beautiful thing. And she was fascinated by this little flower, and she put her head over, and she reached her hand down, and she looked down, and she was taken in by what was going underneath, and over she went. And she perished for a little flower. And she went to her grave holding on to a little flower. What a waste. And there are some people who will go to hell holding on to something insignificant, something worthless, something temporary, when the Lord's able to give you much, much more than this. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for thy word this evening. Thank you, Lord, for some of these great texts that we find buried in thy precious word. Lord, we thank you for the truth of it tonight. The man in the reading was worried about losing 100 pieces of silver, but the Lord was able to give him much more than that. And Lord, there may be some in the meeting and they're concerned about what they'll lose if they come to Christ, what they'll miss out on. Lord, I don't care what it is tonight, but I can say in the authority of the Word of God, Lord, that you're able to give them much, much more than this. So Lord, we pray tonight, whatever they're holding on to, whatever sin, whatever habit, whatever's captivated their heart, Lord, that they'll be prepared to let it go and turn their back on it and embrace Christ by faith tonight. And the Lord will give them much, much more than anything they'll ever lose. We thank you for that wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, Lord, that some dear person in the meeting out of Christ will accept thee tonight and experience them much more. There may be some in the meeting and, Lord, they're saved, but, Lord, they've drifted. They've been drawn in the wrong direction. And Lord, the faraway fields look so green. Everything looks so good out there. But Lord, bring this word home to all of our hearts tonight, that the Lord is able to give us much more than that. And so Lord, bless thy word to our hearts this evening. For we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing this evening, number 334. 334. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. 334, and we're standing to sing together. Thank you. Thank you. thank you for a Savior who passes by. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities given so often to so many that they might reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. We do pray tonight that there'll be someone who will utter the words of these and pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Lord, may there be that humble cry this evening, and someone embraces Christ as their Savior. Depart us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. May your hand be upon us throughout this new week. For we ask it in and through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.